Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Steve Jones, along with the mercurial Kevin Herr. Probably never been described that way before.
I might have to look up that definition.
That's okay. World Series starts tonight. Big Ben gets back into the Steeler lineup, but it's too late.
And it's not too late.
Well, do you really think you're going to catch the Bengals?
Yeah. One game this week, and you got another game in a couple more weeks.
They're better than you are.
It's the Bengals. They'll only play well for so long, and then it'll go down into Normalville.
And once again, the voice of the fan rears its ugly head.
Normalville.
Yes, every year's different. Every team's different.
Hasn't been for the last several years for the Bengals, but maybe, just maybe, this year will be different.
Well, they have not had done well in the playoffs, but they've done just fine against your team.
And when they don't do well in the playoffs, that's just as good. Listen, all you need to do is be a wild card in the NFL. If you're 500, you're a wild card team. That's all that has to happen. You'd win the division, great. You don't win the division, so be it. Because you know the Bengals are going to fall apart in the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, and you really don't want to be hosting the AFC Championship game because based on your theory about the Bengals, that fits perfectly with the Steelers.
Well, the Steelers don't play well at home in the AFC Championship game. I've seen many of those home field advantage games turn to nothing.
Well, that sounded bitter. All right, let's get to the story of the day. And the story of the day, Kevin, what is the story of the day?
Well, I know what it is for me, but it probably isn't the same for you.
All right, go ahead. What's yours?
IndyCar is coming back to Pocono. It's official. They will be there in August of 2016. But that's not the big story as far as you're concerned, I know.
Honestly, working with you is stunning.
I said that was the big story for me. Didn't necessarily say it was the big story for everyone.
I thought it was the rather emphatic way which James Franklin told everyone the Miami thing is not on his radar. I mean, that was emphatic. It was also said with some attitude. Dennis Dodd of CBSSportsLine.com wrote a story about, what did he have, Kev? 10, 12, right around that dozen number.
Oh, there's
of,
at least a dozen
possible
on there.
Candidates. Yeah. And it's the usual young, dynamic, energetic, on the rise head coach type on most of those. I mean, in the end, I think it's Greg Schiano that gets that job, but we'll see. But it was the way James Franklin said it today. That was so incredibly emphatic and almost acted as if he was insulted.
I only saw the transcript, so it doesn't really play as well in a transcript.
Oh, no, you need to hear how he said it. How he said it was emphatic. And about how hard he's worked to get here and how much his family has sacrificed to get here, and now they're here. He's building something. These week-by-week evaluations, obviously, they're going to happen in any football program. You know, what'd they do wrong here? What about this decision, that scheme, blah, blah. You know, okay. You know, after a while, I get a little, like, okay, yeah, fine. Let's see. And
I saw our friend.
Oh my goodness! It didn't even make your rundown.
I saw Josh Moyer's article.
Didn't even know it may have happened, did you?
No, I did. But like I said, it didn't seem all right when you're reading it. Like I read it on Josh Moyer's article. Okay, on ESPN.
When you read it, it
doesn't sound like it. It just sounds like he said, first of all, let me say this. I don't like it. It causes a distraction for our team. I think it's a distraction for Penn State. I have no idea where it's coming from whatsoever. It just didn't sound like, I don't know. You didn't get tone when you see it in text. So it just sounded like a denial to me. And I know how you hate TMZ, so I didn't put it down.
No, I think it's a huge story. Okay? God, it's been a pen. Look, we've been through this already. We went through this already with Bill O'Brien. And there were not these, there was no answer from Bill O'Brien that matched today's answer. I mean, do you want to go through another cycle where you have a new coach, you got to start all over again? That's not TMZ.
I just didn't think it was, I honestly didn't think it was anything. Even when I heard or read the article about his name being on the list, I'm like, well, there's a whole bunch of names on the list.
Yeah, but you've got the news judgment of a goat. All right.
Jeez, working with you is confusing.
But, okay, you have to assess the situation.
To me, that's speculation, and you think speculation is TMZ.
Except he answered it.
Well, okay, he answered it.
One thing about, you know, it being speculated by a writer, it's another thing where he answers it.
Oh, I honestly didn't even think he was that. I don't want to say viable. That's not the right word. I just didn't think there was any thought in his mind of moving. It just didn't even dawn on me that it would even be a possibility, even when I saw the name on that list.
Oh, I mean, I didn't either. But when he's asked about it and he's that emphatic in the denial of it.
Well, again, the sound of it may sound different when you see it in text. In when you see it in text, it, you know, you don't know the tone. You don't know how he said it. So, you know.
I did.
Well,
I heard it.
You heard it. That's the advantage you have. Yes. You heard it.
You can go online and listen live. It's free.
Yes, I know it is.
But you elected to go bowling.
No, I did not elect to go bowling. I have a few other responsibilities that unfortunately took precedence from being able to watch that.
So in other words, you know, another charity golf tournament?
I wish. Would have been chilly for that today, though.
Well, I played last night. I did. I played four holes last night. Bogey, bogey, par, par. It may be chilly, but I mean, you can't go out there and get a good walk in and swing the club. Let's see, what else you got on here? I got an email about Johnny Majors. Let's see.
That wasn't for me.
At halftime. No, that's in my regular email.
That's in the actual email you read.
Let's see. Ryan Mallett out in Houston. Signed T.J. Yates. Is Yates a Bill O'Brien quarterback? This is the first item you put up.
They're not in any particular order.
T.J. Yates has played for Houston before, so at least he's been around the block. So at least he has game experience. He actually was the starting quarterback in the playoffs, I believe, against the Ravens. If Houston has an early pick, which right now they're on track to get.
Yes, they are.
So in other words, you don't put down the emphatic statement by James Franklin, but everything here is all speculation to start out. Okay, yours all speculation all throughout here.
Okay, what are the all right? My question, and if you finish the question is: if the Texans have a high pick, does Christian Hackenberg go to the draft, and does Bill O'Brien pick him? There's a lot of people have made this guess. There's a lot better chance of that happening than James Franklin going to Miami.
Yes, but he answered it, and Christian Hackenberg hasn't declared for the draft.
I understand that. Nor will he probably this point.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be a bottom feeder talk show. That's what the bottom feeders do. Hey, let's speculate. World Series. Is this a good matchup? Why or why not? Yesterday you mentioned the late bye. How is that selected, and what is the perfect bye week?
Yeah, do you
Franklin talked about? I'm not done with your memo yet.
Sorry,
I'm trying to read it with as much passion as I can. Franklin talked about one kicker for kickoffs and another for PATs and extra points. Do you see that happening sooner rather than later? It seems that there's a lot of poor tackling in college football. Is that because of the lack of contact in practice now? If so, how do we fix that? Okay.
That last one was a good question, by the way.
We'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you're like me, you're tired of all the Halloween spooktacular deals and sick of the ghostly low prices. Since when did Halloween become a car buying holiday anyway? Well, Sunbury Motors Hyundai isn't about silly hype. They offer good old-fashioned feel-good deals all the time. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is the official sponsor of great cars at great prices. And they want you in an Elantra. To prove it, there's 0% financing for 72 months on all in-stock 2016 Elantras. Check out the completely redesigned 2016 Hyundai Tucson. In stock now. Or at SunburyHyundai.com. These impressive SUVs are priced at invoice minus rebates till October 31st. Prices start at just $25,411. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, veterans and all active military receive an additional $500 off your new Hyundai in honor of your service. Forget about scary offers. Ditch the Halloween tricks and leave your costume at home. At Sunbury Motors Hyundai, it's simply good old-fashioned, feel-good deals year-round. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyHyundai.com.
At Luxor Las Vegas, book your room on Luxor.com and you are guaranteed the lowest rate you can find. Luxor features the best in entertainment and award-winning shows, including Criss Angel Believe, Blue Man Group, Carrot Top, and Fantasy. Public House caters to every taste with 20 draft beers, comfort food, and over 20 screens. Tender Steak and Seafood offers an impressive array of beef favorites, and the Backstage Deli is open 24 hours a day. Book your room on Luxor.com for the lowest rate, guaranteed.
Boy, I'll tell you, your anger management needs to be... Boy, all that yelling during the break. Wow. Kept screaming, that was a good question. It was a good question. I'm like, Kev, I didn't say it wasn't. We had to take a break. I mean, there are people that buy spots on this show. We do it your way, we'll be talking till 4:45. Let's get to, which one do we want to get?
Let's pick one. Yeah.
The first two are the Texans ones are garbage. They're just all speculation. Yates just has NFL experience. He's played in Houston. Okay, fine. It's not like he. I don't even know if he was on the roster last year with Bill or not. And early pick. You know, Houston's probably on track to get that, and we don't know if Christian's going to the draft or not. So that those two are out. Let's get to the late buy, and I want to get to tackling because those are two excellent questions. And let's get to the Franklin about.
Hang on, can you say that again, please?
Yeah, those are two good questions.
No, that's not what you said. You said excellent questions. I just wanted to enjoy that for a minute. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, I know it's a 2-hour show, but now you've eaten up like, you know, valuable minutes bragging.
Great.
Okay.
Can't win.
I want to get to the kicker, kickoffs, and PAT's extra points. I don't think he's going to change that up yet. That's my gut. I don't think he's going to change that up yet. Tyler Davis does have one kickoff. The one thing they're looking for in the kickoff thing is that they're looking to kick off to a spot, and it was really important, especially last week with Will Likely. And Julius banged that thing out of bounds. That's the third time he's done it this year. I think that's why that part of the conversation came up. Late buys. Kevin, it's all done by Big Ten computer.
So it's random.
It's completely random. You don't know year to year what you're going to get. And it's the computer that does it. And that's how it's done. Each Big Ten team is guaranteed a bye week. The Big Ten season takes place in 8 games over 9 weeks. And the calendar is put together where it is you start Labor Day weekend, you end Thanksgiving weekend. Labor Day was earlier last year. Because of that, you had 2 bye weeks. Well, this year and for the next couple of years, it's going to be 1 bye week, and the computer picks when that bye week is based on all these schedules. Tony and Shamokin.
Hello?
Hello, Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good afternoon. I have to say that story by Dennis Dodd, I never believed that for a second. This guy is not his right. Dave Penn State shots for the last 2 or 3 years. And I don't even know why he put something out there like that.
What he did was he cobbled together 12 hot name coaches that could go to the Miami thing, threw some stuff in there, and wanted to see if anything would stick. And with James Franklin, it didn't stick.
I wish you'd have told him in more emphatic language.
I thought the language was rather emphatic, especially one word in particular. So.
And as far as Hackenberg, you know, all this speculation, whether he'll turn pro, whether he will, won't, really doesn't matter. He'll do what he wants to do. He'll do what's
exactly.
best for him. And
exactly.
what's best for him will be his decision. If he goes, he goes. We have other guys here. Well, not we. Penn State does.
Yeah. And look, and if he wants to stay, he stays. If he decides
that's
this
right.
is the time for he and his family, and he thinks the iron's hot enough and he can get a good contract, I don't blame him.
Right. Neither do I. Not one bit. I mean, that's the name of the game today. Take it while it's there.
Well, exactly. You have to get in there when you yeah, exactly right. I mean, if you stay, then he probably would have to take out an insurance policy. But we'll have to wait and see on that. He has been bailed. Well, if he's made a decision, he certainly hasn't told me.
One more thing. I just want to say how remarkable I think it is, since all these sanctions and everything from a few years ago, Penn State has performed the way they performed. I mean, I don't think that another school could do it. I really don't.
I absolutely agree with you, Tony. I think what they've done the last 4 years with this around them, and they're still not quite there yet, has been actually remarkable.
2 years from now, watch out.
That's exactly right, and I think you've got the timetable spot on.
Okay. Hey, Liz, you guys have a great day.
Thanks, Tony. I'll be back with Harvey Levin in the next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show, where we have a plethora of topics to discuss today.
No, none of them are really good.
I didn't say we had good topics. I said we had a plethora of topics.
No, none of them are really good. Like, the first two are all like, yeah, what about deep, deep? Get out of there. Yeah. We talked about the kicker thing that's done. We'll get to the World Series in a minute. All right, now let's get to two good questions that you had.
I believe the first half hour, they were excellent questions.
After rereading them during the news, they've been downgraded.
I'm like the hurricane. I got downgraded.
We're about to get the remnants of it tomorrow.
I know.
Let's see, late buy. It's the computer does all of that. Scheduling is not easy, and that's why they try to pop these things into the computer. And you've got to be able to match up dates for teams, and the computer is a big part of that. And in the end, it picks the bye week. I did relate the story on the talk show last week when they asked James Franklin about the bye, that in Big Ten basketball, you get two byes. And one year, Penn State's two byes were the opening game and the last game, and they played 18 in a row in between.
Oh, that's somebody messed up on that computer pick.
Yes, they did. So it's not perfect. Penn State had two byes last year, and both the byes were in perfect spots. I think idealistically, you want to have a bye somewhere in weeks 6, 7, and 8, somewhere in there. If you can get a bye in weeks 6, 7, and 8, one of those three, I think that's about the point where you, okay. Getting a bye in week 10, or excuse me, weakness at the end of week 10, so it's week 11, well, that's awfully late. That is not easy. You got a young team where you've got, you see, the problem you have is this. You've got 4 weeks of training camp, then you're playing games. So it's 4 weeks of training camp, then you're playing 10 consecutive games, then you finally get a break. So that's 14 weeks. By having it in weeks 6, 7, and 8, that's about the ideal time somewhere in there to get your bye week. And I have not looked at other teams' bye weeks. I don't know when anybody else has their bye week. I don't know. But that, scheduling is not easy. That's why they rely on the computer to help them out and spit out some stuff. So you've got the matchups when you need it. And, you don't want, and there are a lot of factors that go into it. You don't play three consecutive home games in the conference. You don't play three consecutive road games in the conference. So that's got to go for all 14 teams. So it's not as easy and as cut and dry as people think of it. I think people think, the schedule's easy. Yeah, please, it's far from it. It's not easy at all. So, okay, then here's one. Now this one took some thought on your part. It's a really good question here. I got to give you credit for it. The bye week question was very good. This one is also very good. Instead of when we get you into the football part of it and get you away from the Harvey Levin part, you do okay.
Well, I like to give a little of both.
Too much of one. It seems like there's a lot of poor tackling in college football. I agree with that. Is it because of the lack of contact in practices now? If so, how do you fix that? You can teach tackling technique all you want, but I agree with your premise. I think the lack of contact in practice and the lack of taking people to the ground is a big reason across the board in college football and in pro football. I think pro football tackling stinks too.
That's more of a knock them off their feet tackling anymore.
Yeah. Well, what's happened though, Kevin, is that you don't tackle in nobody tackles, and they don't want people going to the ground. Now, when you scrimmage, you tackle. For example, except for the quarterback can't get hit. But that's why the scrimmages in the preseason are so valuable. You tackle in those scrimmages. If you're able to do pass thud correctly, pass thud is everything waist up, and you don't take people to the ground, but boom, I'm talking shock and wrap. That's not bad. That's proper tackling technique. But they don't want people going to the ground. They don't want linemen on the ground. They don't want backs on the ground. They don't want people on the ground.
The only question I have with thud, and correct me if I'm wrong with this, but you're tackling
let's do a preemptive. You're wrong.
You're tackling above the waist, and when you're teaching somebody to tackle, it's shoulder pads to the waist. I mean, can you still do that in thud?
Yeah, because
okay.
You're not just wrapping up like, okay, I'll put my arms around you. It's getting in there, and you're leading with the shoulders, then boom, shock and wrap. But they don't want you tackling the legs, and they don't want you taking anybody down.
Because I've seen a lot of high tackles around the shoulder pads, too. And I wondered, and I didn't add this in, and I wonder if that had a little bit to do with the thud process.
I think that's just the position of the player at the time. That has nothing to do with it. It has nothing to do with it. It has to do with everything about high tackles are because backs and receivers put their head down when they're about to be hit.
That's true.
So that's more a product of that. But I think that everybody has gone to, and it's right. I mean, I'm trying to think, who is it? Does only 1 hour of hitting, 1 day hitting a week? The ACC, right? The ACC only allows 1 day of hitting a week in practice. Everybody else is 2 days. And that's it. The ACC is 1 day a week. Everybody else is 2 days a week hitting.
See, now that leads me to something I saw just the other day. I think it was actually on ABC and Good Morning America. They were talking about player deaths from impact deaths. And I think they were looking at the high school level. The number is higher this year compared to previous years, even though a lot of these states, like Pennsylvania, have dropped the amount of contact days you can have. I thought that was really, it was kind of interesting, and I wonder if, especially in the high school level, and please do not read anything into this because I don't want to see it happen, but I wonder if we're going to see contact football disappear from high school now because of some of the questions that are in that are being asked now about concussions and so forth. And what's that going to do to tackling in college?
It won't disappear. Because you're going to have people fight like hell to keep it from disappearing. But you will have someone who has no feel for it propose it.
I mean, can you imagine a player that's played flag football their entire life and then go to full contact in college? Talk about night and day difference.
Well, it's not going to happen, but you're going to have somebody go make the proposal. And the argument over it will be vehement. And because you can see which way society's turning on so many levels right now, things that I never thought in a million years would be put through or whatever, and common sense says don't touch it. Oh, no. You're like, what the heck? That's why I fully expect there's going to be somebody out there that's going to do it. I mean, anything, common sense, anything. Did you ever hear about the high school player up in upstate New York? Up near the Syracuse area?
Not sure if I heard about that one or not.
Gets the end zone, points to the sky, hands the ball, boom, runs back, right? Unsportsmanlike conduct.
Yes, I did hear about that one. Yes.
All right. They're like, what did he do wrong?
I'm not sure that was excessive celebration.
No. And you hear stuff like that and you say, what are you doing here? Yeah, you know, there's too many crazy things going on right now. That's why when you bring that up, I say to myself, yep, there'll be somebody out there, some crusader that will get out there, even though on Friday night, you know, we all like going and watching high school football on Friday night, and I know all the great it's done for me in my life, but you're going to have some crusader out there where if you just mind your own business and just, okay, and button it, but I fully expect there'll be somebody out there because Roy Orbison's song fits. Only the lonely. There'll be somebody. I can guarantee it. And the domino effect is going to be tremendous as it went through. Brian in Elysburg. Hi, Brian.
How you doing, Steve?
Brian, great to hear from you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you again, buddy. And, yeah, I have my prediction for the World Series tonight, Mets in five games. And I will be at the Penn State game Saturday, buddy, and I'll say hi to you, buddy, okay?
I'm looking forward to seeing you, Brian, and good luck to your Mets.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. And, the last time I was in Kansas City was in 92, and that year the Blue Jays played the Royals, and I saw a doubleheader. I'll never forget that, Steve. I saw the late Derek Thomas, and the Adams Mark Hotel is right across the road from the complex there, and you walk across the stadium, and then there they are. And there's the Chiefs Stadium, and then there's the Royal Stadium. So, but I'll never forget it because I was there when the Royals played the Blue Jays back in '92, and that's the year they won. And Fred McGriff was on that team, and Glenn Allen Hill, and Pat Borders, and all them. Yeah, they were all very nice, nice people, and nice guys. I talked to all of them, and I met Derek Thomas, too. And that was, the only thing bad about Derek Thomas, he wrecked Penn State back in '88 when he won the game for him.
I was there, Brian. On the Penn State Sports Network, and he kept going around Eric Johnson like he was standing still. And then Eric went on to Bloomsburg and transferred to Bloomsburg, had himself a nice career there, and then got to the NFL with the Chargers.
I know Illinois is going to be a tough game because even though they're 4-3, anything can happen. But I know Penn State's going to come out for a win. I know they will. And like I said, it's going to be a great day. It's the first game on the new field there. They put the new sod down, so I'm looking forward to that. So.
Yeah, that'd be nice, and that's going to work out fine. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, new sod's going to work out just fine. That is no big deal at all. They did this midseason in 93 after a rain-soaking game where the turf was coming up against Rutgers, and that field lasted for 12 years. They then did it again right around the Ohio State game in 2005, took that one out, and they put this one, and that lasted for 10 years. So that is... That's a big part of this. I think people will look at the field. That will be no issue at all. No issue. 800-795-9565. And let's take Dave in Sunbury. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Steve.
How are you, Dave?
You're okay. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Well, just got a little thing that Kevin should have told you about, but you were asking about the Loyal Sox game?
Yeah.
Well, Sean Turber had three interceptions, threw a touchdown pass, blocked the winning field goal for Loyal Sox. He didn't do much, but you didn't hear from Kevin about him, did you?
No, I talked about it a lot on Friday night.
Wow. I think it's terrific. He had a big game. It's a big win for those kids. They're now solidly entrenched as the number three seed. So that's terrific.
Well, I might be in the minority for this opinion, but I want 14 to come back.
Okay. Well, we're all going to have to sit back and wait and see what he does. But
do you know why?
Why is that?
In the middle of the game, I've seen him become the leader that you actually need as a quarterback. You know, not really getting in people's faces, but come on. Getting guys into the huddle, you know, saying, hey, this is my team, let's get going.
He did a good job. He did a good job with that, and I thought he played a really good game. Maybe not a great throwing percentage of the game, but he didn't throw a pick. He threw the three touchdowns. He threw for 315, and he's a big reason why they won the game.
Yeah, well, I said I'm just looking forward to seeing, you know, a leader.
Yep. Well, he did a good job there.
Not just because, you know, he's throwing touchdowns, but be actually leading the team, and that's what I see. So
good point, Dave. Appreciate it. We're going to go to the next one. Thanks, Dave. Dick in Milton, thanks for waiting. Dick, how are you?
I'm good, Steve. I was down at the game, and actually we had decent seats in the lower level right over from the band. I listened to you yesterday. I couldn't call because I just didn't have the opportunity. And I wasn't quite as – even though we won, I wasn't at all overly happy with the way we played. And that sounds hard to believe to score 31 points. And I think some of the people, you know, you said about what we won and went on, but if we had played like that against Michigan or Michigan State, we wouldn't beat those teams.
What are you talking about, offensively or defensively?
I just think our offense was, you know, we made a few big plays, but a lot of times we just didn't seem to do anything. And the other thing,
this all has to do with the fact that they got a totally different scheme than they prepared for.
I understand that, but these are football coaches that have coached football for a long time, and I really just this is just my opinion, and I know you're not going to want to hear this. But I really am not. I think James Franklin is a good recruiter, and I think he's more of a cheerleader on the sideline. But I just don't think they're good game day coaches. I really don't. There's too many things. For example, they burned three timeouts in the third quarter unnecessarily because they were running guys in and off the field at the last second. I just think that's just not good football sense. Didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, but what about the fact that you, instead of seeing a soft zone and a four-man front, you get a 5-2 look, eight in the box eventually, cover one, cover zero, which isn't on any tape, and you adjust to that with four touchdown passes?
Well, I understand that. I'm sorry, Dick.
I mean, is the football logic too much here or what? I mean, that's a totally different thing. And when they do something right, it's too easy to complain. And you know what? This time, you're not right on this one. Usually I'll agree with you on some stuff, Dick. Not this time. I watched three. You got to remember, I watch a lot of damn tape, buddy. And when I didn't see cover one, cover zero, the entire – yeah, but okay. You tell me, what were they playing?
No, I'm just pointing out other things. For example,
Dick, what were they playing? If you want to tell everybody about, you know, scheme and things like that, tell me what scheme they were playing.
I'm not going there, Steve. I'm just pointing out things I didn't like about the football team or the game. I don't like guys running – kickoff when they're 3 or 4 yards deep in the end zone. I just am not sure why they do that all the time, but they did it. I'm just pointing out things that I don't like about the way they get touched in this football team.
I didn't like the timeouts, so I'm in total agreement. I think better judgment is needed on kickoffs in the end zone. I realize the player has this confidence they're going to make it. So I agree with that.
I understand the football player thinks that way. I'm just thinking that you got to get him on the sidelines and say, listen, this is the way we're going to do this.
Yeah.
You know?
I understand that. But when it comes to what they did schematically in the game, They played zero and they played one. And the coaching staff made really good adjustments. That's how they beat it. All right, that part, no matter what, I'm usually accepting of whatever a lot of people say, Dick. This time there's a line in the sand because I watched so much tape and there was no zero and no one in any of those tapes. And it took them two series, and I talked to Christian about this on Sunday, and it took them two series to kind of get a feel for way. Okay, because they wanted to see if it was consistent, and it was consistent the first two series. That's when they made the change in the third series as to how they wanted to attack it. They wanted to make sure that they didn't just do it for a series and then revert back to what they were doing. They never reverted. That's why they changed up how they were playing the game.
Well, you're going to give them more credit than I'm going to give them.
Dick, you're not right. Okay, I'm completely in agreement with you on the timeouts. I am in complete agreement with you on kickoffs. I am not going to be in agreement with you when you get a totally different defensive style from a team, and then
you
mid-game change up, and then do it. Well, I'm going to say it again because you need to hear it again. Okay, sometimes it's a job of a host to educate and not just sit there and be the punching bag.
Well, I'm not trying to punch you.
There's too much from fans about the scheme. Well, then you point out specifics about the scheme and get really specific with people, and I feel like I'm confusing them.
Well, I guess my bottom line is they have Northwestern, Michigan, Michigan State, and Illinois, and I can see them beating Illinois. I can see them really struggling with the other three teams. That's the bottom line. Unless they play better than they played yesterday.
They're going to have to play better defensively. Thank goodness there's no more read option, because the read option gives them all sorts of trouble, obviously. And you can see that. I was pleased with how they handled the last. And you could see, though, the last five possessions when Maryland kind of got away from it. I mean, that was more Maryland's fault than anything. I was very surprised Maryland got away from it. I mean, if you want to complain about coaching, I'd complain about them coaching against the Penn State defense the last four possessions of the game. They got away from what got them there.
The other thing that I didn't like is in the fourth quarter when we had the ball with about 5 or 6 minutes left to go, and you know, they have one timeout left on the board up there, and we run a play and we throw the ball and stop the clock. That didn't make a lot of sense to me either.
That's a quandary I had on the air, Dick. What do you do here? I said, do you run the ball, make them burn the timeout, or do you try and get the first down? Because if you do get the first down, the game is over.
But
that's when, like, you go back and forth. How valuable is it for them to burn the last timeout, which I see what you're saying? And how valuable is it to get the first down? And I'll be honest with you, I never answered it on the air because I'm not sure what I would have done there.
Well, I'm just looking at what I'm seeing there.
I also think this though, Dick. You've got how much time left in the game?
I thought it was five or 6 minutes. It could be more than that or less than that. I don't remember what.
But Jack and I both feel this way, and I think you'll agree with this. You want to be able to get your offense, take the music down. You want to be able to knock somebody off the ball at that point, Dick, and get the first down just running the football.
I understand the nature of the game is to make first downs and score,
You want to get to the days. Remember in the Outback Bowl with Tony Hunt, how they put that game away?
Yeah.
Bang, bang, bang. You'd love to be able to do that, wouldn't you?
Well, I think with Barkley in there, you can do that. That's just me. I mean, he didn't run for as many yards this week, and he didn't get his average wasn't good.
That's because of the 8-9 in the box. See, again, they did everything 180 of what they had done before. That's why they played man up on the outside and only one safety at times.
Yeah.
And because they were putting 8 and 9 in the box, and they took everything away. I mean, they literally sold out everything. Either blitz to get pressure on the quarterback or run blitz to make sure Penn State couldn't run the ball. They're going to make sure Barkley didn't beat him. And it was a 180 of what they do. 180.